Luke chapter number 2. And I've been preaching this whole month out of Luke chapter 1, leading up to Luke chapter number 2. And I've preached several messages so far. There was not only one miraculous birth at the time of the birth of Christ, there was two. And we took some time and looked at the birth of John the Baptist, and he was born to Elizabeth when the Bible says she was well stricken in years. And the only other person in the Bible that it talks about having a baby that was well stricken in years was Sarah. And she was 90 years old, and I'm about 90 because I can't remember anything anymore. But we're going to read this morning in the book of Luke. We've already heard this scripture already, but I want us to start in verse number 8, and we're just going to read down through a few verses. This is what we might typically think about when we think about reading the Christmas story. The Bible said, "And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray. Lord, we come today and I want to thank you for your blessings. I want to thank you for letting us be here today and the good service we've already had so far, the good program, and Lord, how it visually reminded us of some of the things that took place and what we read about in this scripture this morning. Lord, I pray that as we look again and think about some of these things, that the Holy Spirit of God would make it real to our hearts, our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us, that we would leave today closer to you than when we came through the doors this morning. I pray that if anybody's here that's lost, I pray that you'd show them that a Savior came, was born, died upon the cross for their sins and our sins so that we could be saved. Lord, I pray for your help. I pray for great liberty to preach thy word, and we'll thank you for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. All right, we've read verses 8 down through verse number 20, but what I really want to look at this morning is the first 7 verses. And we're going to go back and we're going to read those first 7 verses in Luke chapter number 2 and sort of leading up to what we saw this morning in the Christmas play. The Bible said, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I want us to look again at the last part of verse number 7. Look what the Bible says. That she brought him forth, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for Mary, Joseph, and the Lord Jesus in the inn. It's what the Bible says. And when I read that, and I've thought about that for a couple of weeks now and been pondering upon that, it's really shocking to think that other people would allow a young couple and a young lady that was getting ready to have a baby, that they would just sort of stand by and even allow that to take place. That they would allow somebody to have a baby in a manger. And the manger, we talk about it as being a stable, but that's where they kept the animals at. And as I've thought about that and pondered about that, that would be allowed to take place, you would think that somebody in an inn, what we would call a motel, a hotel, a place to stay when you're traveling, you'd think that somebody would have come along and said, seen what the situation was and said, you know, there's a bunch of us and we can all scoot over here and we can make some room for them. You would think that there would have been some noble men, you know, that was chivalrous, that had good manners and thought about other people. You'd have thought that somebody would have said, you know, well, me and Uncle Joe over there, and, you know, we'll go out there and we'll sleep in the stable. We'll sleep with the animals and you can come over here and you can have our room. Wouldn't you think that somebody would do that? Wouldn't you think that there would be some women that would have saw Mary and Joseph maybe coming in and out and looked over there and saw it had been very obvious the situation they were in, that they were in. Wouldn't you have thought that there would have been some women that would have had compassion and, you know, they would have remembered when they had their children and, boy, they sure wouldn't want their children to be born in a barn. You'd have thought there would have been at least some women that would have had a heart and some compassion that would have said, you know, we'll make room. We'll make room and let this young couple come in and stay with us or have our place or we'll go somewhere else. We will make other arrangements. And so when I think about that and what it must have been like during that time, I'm amazed that the Bible says there was no room for them in the inn. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. There was no room in the inn. And I thought about this as well. I've been thinking about the subject. You know, sometimes you have a title, but you could have two or three titles. I thought about this. We could call this morning, why is it so hard to preach the gospel? Now, some of you probably don't realize it this morning, but as a pastor, as a preacher, some of the hardest preaching that I've ever done is just trying to preach a simple gospel message. You would think that would be the easiest message that there is to preach, but actually that is the hardest message just to preach the gospel to people. It's almost like that, and I'm sure that there is extra opposition by the devil because the devil doesn't want anybody to hear the gospel. I'm sure of that. I'll tell you, sometimes when we ought to have the best services, it seems like they're the driest and the dullest. We could call it this morning, why are Spirit-filled services so few and far between? Do you know every time we come to church, we ought to come praising the Lord and thanking the Lord? And I mean, it ought to be easy. It ought to be an oasis from the world. It ought to be a time of joy. It ought to be a time when we come and we say, well, praise the Lord, I get to go to church this morning. And I've been looking so forward to that. And it ought to just be good when we come together. But a lot of times it's not. It's dry and It's sort of sleepy in our midst. Why is it that revival tarries? We know that we need to have revival, but we don't. Why was there no room in the inn? Let's not be too hard on those people staying in the inn until we've examined our own lives to see how much room we've got for Jesus. It might be this morning that some of the reasons why it's hard to preach the gospel and hard to have a spirit-filled service, it might be that we also are guilty of not having any room for Jesus in our lives, just like they had no room in the inn for the Lord Jesus. So we're just going to think about a few short things this morning. Why was there no room for Jesus in the inn? Number one, I got to thinking about this. The inn was full of payers. Now let's look at verses 1 through 3 again and think about this, being a taxpayer. The inn was full of payers. People that had come to pay their taxes. Well, that'll make you shout, won't it? If you got a whole town full of people that had come to sign up to pay for their taxes. The Bible said, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And so we have a city full of taxpayers. They had come for no other reason. They were not there for Christmas. They were not there to witness the birth of the Messiah. They were not there for a family reunion. They were not there because their favorite team was in town and they were going to go watch a ball game. They were there to pay their taxes. And they had to go to their town they were born in, or the town of their lineage, and they had to sign up. And that's what they were doing, and the city was full of people that had come. That's why there was no room in the inn. We might say, think about today, you go somewhere and there would be no vacancy because there's a big event going on in a town. Well, there was no vacancy in Bethlehem because of this event that people had to come and the town was full. But the Bible says that they came to a place called Bethlehem. Now, in verse number 4, the Bible said, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. They were in Bethlehem. Now, in the Bible, Bethlehem, the name Bethlehem, it means this. It means the house of bread, the house of food. And Bethlehem in the Bible is a picture of God's house. It is a picture of a place where we meet the Lord Jesus Christ and we are fed by His Word. Do you know one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible is the book of Ruth? It's not a story, but it actually took place. But in the book of Ruth, you find that they come home, they come to Bethlehem, they come to the house of bread, and Ruth and Naomi, and they had lost everything in a land away from Bethlehem, but Naomi comes home. And there they meet a man named Boaz. Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ruth, a undeserving Gentile person. She's not a Jew. She's a Gentile dog. She gets introduced to this great man called Boaz. That's a type of Gentiles meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. And she comes under his wing of protection, and he takes special notice of her, and he tells all his men that when Ruth comes out to glean in the fields, he said, leave her some handfuls on purpose. And boy, I'm telling you, she went out to glean and she come home with a sack of food on her back. She went to the house of bread. And she met the Lord Jesus Christ, and she got fed, and she got in on a family, and she got in on the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, she got more than she ever bargained for at Bethlehem. She got them handfuls on purpose. That's all a picture. Bethlehem is the house of bread. Bethlehem is where we go to get fed. Bethlehem is where we go to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it ought to be a wonderful thing every time we come to the house of God. We ought to come to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to come to get our spiritual needs met and to get fed spiritually speaking. But a lot of times we don't. A lot of times we don't because we're like these folks. We've got worldly things on our mind and we don't have spiritual things on our mind. That's why they didn't make any room for the Lord Jesus. They had the things of the world upon their mind. They've come to pay their taxes. They're thinking about income. They probably had to fill out forms like we do. They're probably thinking about, can I get any deductions? What's that other word? Can I itemize? How can I pay less? Nobody wants to pay more. I'd like to pay less. They're thinking about everything else that is going on. And it is at the command in verse number 1. Who brought them there? Who told them they had to do this? Caesar Augustus did. Now, in the Roman government, in the Roman way of thinking, the leaders, the emperors, they made themselves to be demigods. They were part God. They claimed the status of a God come down to rule over everybody else. Augustus is a title that is linked with being divine, and Caesar Augustus is telling the whole world, I'm your God. Come and pay homage to me. Come and serve me. And they're coming to serve the little God, the little G of this world. And when we come and we've got the attitude that we are serving the little god of this world, and the Bible talks about Satan as being the god of this world with a little g, that's what they were there to do, and therefore they had no room for Jesus. See, their god was Caesar, but the Son of God was in their midst. And they, like many in the world today, they had room in their life for Caesar. In fact, a lot of them went really out of the way. It'd been a hard trip to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem with a woman that's getting ready to have a baby. A lot of them had went to a lot of trouble to obey and serve Caesar. But they had no room for Jesus. Isn't that exactly where we are in the world today? The inn was full of payers. Number 2, I thought about this. I thought about the inn was full of personnel. What I mean by that, the inn was full of people that worked there. The inn, and I don't know, I'd read and studied a little bit about this inn, and it was actually a very large place, and they would have had, we think about, well, as you know, when we have our play, there's one man. A lot of times, the innkeeper, and I think Noah played that several years, and they'd come knock on the door, and the innkeeper comes, and he says, no room in the inn. But there's an innkeeper. There's a Mrs. Innkeeper. There might have been a night clerk and a day clerk, and there's cooks and waiters, and there's people that work out in the stable, and there's housekeepers, and I mean, it takes all kinds of personnel to run even a little inn, little motel. You got to have all kinds of people doing all kinds of things. You got to have somebody to clean out the chimney and change the light bulbs and make sure the pool's clean. And I mean, all that kind of stuff. You got to have people. You've got people in this inn, and It is their job. It is their livelihood. And they have bills to pay and mouths to feed and all of this other stuff on their mind. Do you ever think that we miss a blessing by coming to church with our jobs on our mind? With our work that we have to do on our mind, and that's what we're thinking about. And I realize this morning, we all have to have a livelihood. We all have bills to pay, and you have to go to work and all that kind of stuff. But I think we miss meeting with the Lord a lot of times because we come in on Sunday morning and we're actually thinking about Monday morning and Tuesday morning and what I've got to do this week, and I've got bills coming up, and I need this much, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. And the Bible says this, Psalms 100, verse number 4, it says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name." But a lot of times we come, and instead of the heart of a worshiper, we've got the mind of a worker. We've got the mind of somebody that's got a whole lot of things to do, and we're already thinking about that and planning about that, and we have no room for the Lord Jesus when we need to have room for Him. And I'm talking about when we just come to worship the Lord on Sunday mornings, and I'm guilty as well. I know we all are. We'll sit right here and the choir will be singing, or like they were singing this morning, and it takes a while. You know, you find yourself drifting out there in the week ahead. And you say to yourself, well, I don't need to be thinking about that. I need to think about what they're singing about. And you think about that. If we're all come together to worship, but in our minds and in our hearts, we're all over next week and our jobs and what we've got to do after church and all this stuff, it ain't no wonder we can't worship like we need to. We can look at those people in the inn and say, how cruel, how heartless. Couldn't somebody make room for the Lord Jesus? But we don't even do it. Because we come and we're thinking about all this other stuff and thinking about working, and these people had no room for the Lord Jesus, and what have they got on their minds? I don't know. But they probably thinking, you know, as soon as these people get out, we've got a camel train coming in to take a tour, and we got sheets to clean, and we got to get up all this mess, and we got to order food, and we've got to, you think about all that would go on. That's what they're thinking about. They're not thinking about the Lord Jesus. They're thinking about, as soon as this crowd gets out of here, we got to do it all again. And that's how most of us live our lives. Monday's tomorrow, got to do it all again. You ever notice how many people, just seems like most people hate Mondays. I seen an old sign one time, it said, "Mondays are fine, your attitude stinks." See, we live our lives so many times back to the grind, got to do it all again. You know what would really help us if when we came to worship, we forgot about all that stuff and we really come to worship Him and would make room for the Lord Jesus. But the inn was full of payers, and the inn was full of personnel, just job on the mind. I thought about this as well. The inn was full of prophets. Why would you even have an inn? It's about money. You got to make a living. You got to make money. Have you ever went, and so much structures our society around that one thing. It's about money. Have you ever went to, and I thought about this, Abigail's got a flight later on today. Have you ever went to the airport and you have a ticket and you're scheduled and you got a seat number and everything, and they make that announcement and they say, if anybody would be willing to give up their seat, we'll do this or this for you. Seems like we've overbooked. Now I always think to myself, how is that even possible? You've got 100 seats on a plane and you sell 100 tickets. Why would you sell 120 tickets if you knew you only had 100 seats? Why do they do that? I'll tell you exactly why they do that. Because of money. They do that because of money. And inns and motels and all, they do the same thing. They overbook. What are they doing? They're trying to make all the money that they can. And the inn was full of profits, and these customers that were in there, they're paying customers, and this is not a maternity ward, and this is not a hospital, and this is not a homeless shelter or anything like that. Making room for Jesus simply does not fit into the bottom line. It's what businesses are mainly concerned about. We got to fit the bottom line. We've got to make so much money to do this and pay our workers and all of these things. Everything seems like it's about money, money, money. Do you know why there's so many stores that they won't let their people say Merry Christmas, or they tell them not to? They tell them, say, Happy Holidays. Why? They're afraid they'll lose some money. Because somebody came along somewhere in the past few years and they said, oh, I'm offended by all that. Merry Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't fit into the bottom line of this world. And so you've got all this Happy Holidays. And, you know, I always sort of laugh at that because holiday means holy day anyway. So if you want to say Happy Holiday, go ahead. But I'm going to tell you this, it means that it's a holy day. Why is it a holy day? Because that's when the Savior was born. That's what holiday means. And so that's why these companies, and that's why they're open 7 days a week, and, you know, Sunday's just like any other day of the week, because Jesus Christ does not fit into the bottom line. And they think it hurts their profits and they might lose a little bit of money. And that's why in this world we live in, there's so little room made for Jesus Christ. You know, if Walmart closed on Sunday and if the grocery stores closed on Sunday and the gas stations closed on Sunday, you know what would happen? People would do all that stuff on Saturday. That's what they used to do. You know, it wouldn't kill any of us not to go out and eat on Sunday, but just to go home, spend some time with our family, and it'd be all right. In fact, I'll tell you this, we'd be a whole lot better off. And I'll tell you this, a lot of times why we don't have room for Jesus, even on Sundays, is because we're thinking about where we're going and what we're spending and what we're eating after church and all that kind of stuff. It is all tied in with money. And here's what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He said, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That means money. And there were prophets in the inn, and they had no room for Jesus. And that was one of the reasons why. Last of all, this morning I thought about this, and I thought about just going to a motel. I thought about going out of town for a few days and staying at an inn or a motel. And what do you find in the inn? The inn was full of pleasure. What else do you do when you go out of town and you go to a motel? What are you thinking about? Well, I'll tell you what we think about. We think about, is there anything to eat around here? We think about lounging around is what we think about. We think about pleasure. Even if you go out of town on business and you have a little time, and we always look around if we go into a motel or a hotel, and we look around, what's to do around here? You think about pleasure. There was pleasure in the inn. There was food in the inn. There's drinking in the inn. I know they didn't have football and watch TV, but I bet they got around and talked. I know they played games. I know they spent a lot of their time in eating and things like that. But you'd have thought surely they'd have had a conference room or something. They could have made room for the Lord Jesus. If it's in this day and time, they'd have had a big screen TV in it and a football game on. Wouldn't have been able. And the times have changed and things have changed, but people really haven't changed very much. People are pretty much the same as they've always been. But you know, even today on Christmas Day, I was in Walmart yesterday and I was doing all of my shopping. The first and the last and the middle. I do it all in an hour or two. I was doing all my shopping in Walmart and I heard this woman on the phone. It was eavesdropping. And she's talking about Christmas and she said, "Oh," she said, "we're supposed to go to church tomorrow, but it's so far away, blah, 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 blah." And I just thought, I bet that'll be a blessed service. If everybody showed up and they'd been talking that way on Saturday. Well, we've got the family over and when are we going to open gifts? And then where are we going to eat? And now it's on Sunday and we've got to go to church. Do you not think that very conversation went on? I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about God's people. Christmas is going to be harder this year because it's on Sunday. Do you think any churches didn't have church today? You think any churches had altered their services today because it's Christmas? I'm sure they did. You think any preachers are having a hard time this morning because that people have come in and yes, we're here, but we've got all this other stuff on our minds? I'm sure. I'm sure because sometimes the hardest message to preach is the gospel. And it's easy to find room for everything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me get something in our minds this morning. When we think about when Jesus was born, and a lot of times we have this image in our mind, the manger. I appreciate y'all putting all this up just so I could preach this morning. But this manger we're talking about was simply an annex. It would be like going to a motel. It would be like the parking lot where you park all the cars. The manger was the stable where they put all their animals. This is not 5 miles outside of town. This manger is surrounded by people. There's hundreds of people in Bethlehem. Thousands of people in Bethlehem, probably hundreds of people within shouting distance. Within just holler across the road over there. This is not some isolated on the outskirts of town place that we're talking about. We're talking about the Son of God being born, brought into this world, and surrounded by people. But the Word of God says nothing about nobody in the inn paying any attention whatsoever when Jesus was born. Now let me show you something and I'll be done this morning. Verse number 7, the Bible said, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And all these people surrounded by all this other stuff, they take no notice of the greatest gift that's ever been wrapped of all time. And that's the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody in the inn pays no attention. The innkeeper doesn't come to check on them. That little housemaid doesn't come by. "Mary, do you need anything?" Nothing in the Word of God about that. In order to find those that are interested, and I notice this as I read on down, there's no room for him in the inn, but heaven could not stay contained. You'd think there's plenty of room in heaven, but heaven couldn't stay in heaven when Jesus was born. The Bible said in verse number 8, "And there in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there's with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And that one angel came to the shepherds and said, "Hey, fellas, I got good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And all them other angels is holding back, just watching what was going on. And all of a sudden, one of them couldn't stand it no longer. And he jumped out and said, "Praise God! Woo-hoo! Glory!" That's what happened. Heaven could not contain itself. But in the end, they didn't even know anything was going on. This world will so rob you of the blessings of God that you won't see right in front of you what God is doing is great. In order for the Lord to find anybody that would pay any attention to what was going on, He had to go outside of all those that were in the inn. The inn is the type of the world, if you haven't figured that out. He had to go out and find some shepherds and gave the good news to the shepherds. The shepherds were not in the inn. We're not going to worship in the world. We're going to have to get out of, separated from, where we can hear what God has to say. And when the shepherds heard the good news, then the Bible says, verse 15, "It came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Isn't that good? See, we think the manger was way out on the outskirts of town. It wasn't. It was right in the middle of town. The shepherds were outside of town, and they came into the town to see this good news. They came seeking to find, as the angel had said unto them. I'll tell you, this world, it'll rob us. Why don't we have revival? Why is it hard to preach the gospel? Why are Spirit-filled services so few and far between? Because we're in the inn when we come in to worship. We've got to get out of that mindset if we're really going to worship. And so the Lord found the shepherds. And let me tell you what the shepherds did. The shepherds came to see. And once they saw, they went out to tell. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We come to see. We go out to tell what great things the Lord has done. And that's what the Bible said happened in verse 16. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Well, they came in, they saw, and it amazes me. Does nobody else care what was going on? Nobody else notices that. Why would shepherds come to town in the middle of the night? What's going on down there in the manger? They didn't care. There's a lot of churches in Watauga County. But let me tell you this, if the world cared about the Lord Jesus, there's not enough churches to hold all the people that would come to see. What's going on? What's going on? We look around, good number this morning. Thank the Lord for that. But really, when we think about what is going on, what is it all about, there ought to be people standing around and trying to hear from the outside. The news is that good what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Well, we've got a job to be like the shepherds. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.